97.5, The Fanatic.
It's Jason Mertedis.
Exactly right.
Yes, exactly right, Gus. Boy, we got a great topic to talk about today. Topics in sports talk radio. Topics about sports over the last, whatever, 110, 112 days since sports were paused. We're few and far between of real substance. You know, we talk about games, we react to games, and we react to what players are doing, what coaches are doing, who's performing their job, who's not. But during this period of time, since sports were put on pause on March 11th, which is roughly 112 days ago, it's been, you know, topics of looking back and remember when and all the things, and should sports come back, and today's topic has an element of should sports come back, and it is relevant right now for a lot of reasons, and basically because of this report that comes out on The Athletic. Now, I am an Athletic subscriber. I love the work that they do, the in-depth pieces. Jason Stark. I love reading Jason. I loved reading Jason and Ken Rosenthal through the baseball craziness of trying to get back the return-to-play protocol and everything that went on with baseball. And Daniel Kaplan wrote this article saying the NFL may ask fans to sign a COVID-19 liability waivers to attend games. And I am so intrigued by this conversation because, look, we all don't agree on how, you know, these teams, these leagues should come back given the pandemic, coronavirus, COVID-19, whatever you want to call it. We have different thoughts on it. Some of us believe that the rise in cases is just a byproduct of a rise in tests. We see where Pennsylvania is, and we know that Philly is going to, the city is going to hold back on going to green phase, and restaurants aren't going to be open, and theaters and salons and those kind of things. And we know what's going on in New Jersey in the early stages of this, and how they've handled the pandemic and flattened the curve, and how Pennsylvania has done that. But we see what's happening in the South, in Texas and Florida and in Arizona and California. And look, a pandemic doesn't work in a straight line. It's not one of those things where it hits and it hits every area the same at the same time and it's all on the same timeline. It's not. And I see this article about, you know, the NFL is, you know, toying with this idea of asking fans if they want to attend games to sign a liability waiver, shielding the teams from COVID-19 lawsuits. The waiver proposal is likely to be forwarded to clubs by the middle of next week as part of a broad range of league-recommended best practices for reopening stadiums amid the coronavirus pandemic. Now, look, I don't go to NFL games when there is no pandemic because I love watching the NFL on television. It's such a good television sport. I'm not saying it's not good live in the stadium. It's a different element when you're there. But I prefer it on television. And the other reason why I prefer it on television is because when the Eagles game's over at 4:15, I can roll right into the next game without having to sit in the traffic to leave and the whole production of it. But I'm a bit of a dud when it comes to going into big crowds like that. I will tell you that with a lot less people there and the opportunity to sign a waiver to be there, I'm more likely to go to an NFL game now than I was in a normal year. Because the traffic won't be bad leaving. And, yeah, I'll go. I'll wear my mask. I'll be socially distanced from the other cells that are around the stadium. Now, everybody's, it's not going to be one person 6 feet away, two people. If you go with your family, you're going to sit with your family. You're like a cell. Y'all came in the same car. You might as well sit next to each other in the stadium, right? Now, I don't know how they police that part of it, but this is the cover your butt element that's in place right now. And I heard, you know, Mark, Jamie, and Bob talking about it. And you can sign a waiver and, you know, the belief is that you could still sue. Well, no, it's a release of claims. If you go to an NFL stadium and they determine that you contract coronavirus from being at the stadium, then you've released the claim. You can't sue the NFL. That's what a release of claims is. So, you know, I'm really interested to know if people would sign the waiver. Like, who I'm calling on today, and I'm going to call on Andrew in a second as well, and we can take this beyond the NFL. But who I'm calling on today, are you diehard Eagle fans that go down there and, you know, those 8 games a year, I know they mean a ton to you. And I know that you season ticket holders are mourning the fact that you don't have those 8 Sundays or Mondays or a Thursday night game, whatever it is, to congregate with your group and go down to a game and prepare and offer so much of your financial into it with the big spread and everything that goes with the tailgate and the game. It's not just the game, it's the whole day that you sent around, getting in line in your car early in the day to set up your tailgate and get your spot, all those things. So I'm calling on people, all you guys that go to games and girls, and it means so much to you. When you see that the NFL and possibly the Eagles are going to offer, they're going to offer you the ability to sign a waiver to go to the game, to have that this fall. Does that get you excited? Does that get you scared? I mean, what's the initial reaction when you see that? To me, if I was one of those people that went to those games, I'd be excited. I'd be like, look, we might not have our whole tailgate together of 22 people or whatever it is, but 10 of us might be willing to go. And if I was one of those people, I would seriously consider going. Now, I'm seriously considering going now because of the less crowd to go to an Eagles game or two. And not only that, but because I've had sports taken away from me for so long, 113 days it's been right now, I'm chomping at the bit even more to not only see a game, experience sports again on TV, but to go and see it live. Now, I don't go to a lot of other games because I work for the Flyers. I do all those games. So I'm at a stadium 41 times a year plus preseason and, God willing, playoffs, right? So I like to watch the other sports at home. And I'm a homebody at this point. I'm boring, I'm lame, all those things. But I'm considering going now. I'll look at that waiver and I'll release the claims. And I'll go there and I'll wear my mask and I'll socially distance and I'll keep a urinal in between me and the other guy. And I'll stand further back in line to get a slice of pizza or some French fries and a beer, whatever. To me, I'm incredibly excited about the fact that the NFL hasn't just shut the door and is looking at possible options. I saw that the Oakland A's have said to fans, we'll put your cardboard cutout in the stands. The money will go to charity. And we'll put your cardboard cutout in the stands. And I guess if a home run ball or a foul ball hits you, you win some kind of prize. Right? Look, sports have to do things differently right now. They're trying to recapture as much money as they can. And none of us are oblivious to the fact that with these sports coming back, yeah, there is risk. There's no doubt about it. There's risk. More so than ever before with attending a sporting event or playing a sporting event or putting on any event. There is risk. But we also have to understand that these are businesses and they need to mitigate the damage done or that will be done by not having fans or, in the NFL's case here, very limited fans in the stadiums. So, Andrew, let me ask you, when you saw the news that the NFL is considering this, and you know the situation, so let's take it in Philadelphia because that's where we are. We know the numbers here. I'm not saying, are you going to go to a Dolphin game or are you going to go see Tom Brady in Tampa? Or I'm not saying, are you going to go see Jared Goff and the Rams in L.A. and California where numbers are going crazy? But when you see that you could sign a waiver and possibly attend a game, given that it's been 113 days right now, and who knows, I don't know if I can do the math, but who knows what it'll be when the NFL starts and where the pandemic will be at that point. But do you consider signing that waiver?
I'll enjoy it from my couch.
Okay, now do you enjoy football, generally speaking, from home? You prefer it?
Well, I'm glad that you asked that. Yes, I watch the NFL from home. I haven't been to a game in a couple of years because remember, I do post game here. I did the watch party 2 years ago, so I haven't been able to go to a game. But before that, I made a point to go to at least one game each season. Now, for college football, Temple, I go to probably 3 or 4 games a year, same stadium at the link. Now, of course, there's far fewer people.
Is that one of the reasons why you go? Because there's far fewer people?
No, I just go because I enjoy going to that stadium and I enjoy watching football. And, okay. You know, I can I feel like I can miss a bit at the stadium watching college football, whereas at home I want to watch all the replays. I want to watch all the coverage that is provided in the NFL, provided on Fox or CBS, wherever the Eagles are playing on. But not just the preference of me watching from home. I'm not going around 50,000 people, 60,000 people. I'm not doing that just yet. And I know that they're going to try to shorten the amount of people there. You say that
well, that many people aren't going to show up.
Right.
Because there's going to be too many people that are too scared to do that.
So you're going to step back in line for pizza, right? You're going to be far away from the person that's in front of you. The person behind you is still going to be breathing on your neck.
Well,
you might have the wherewithal to do that, but not everyone's going to do that.
Well, they have to have measures in place, and whether it's bike racks or, you know, the little stickers on the floor that this is where you stand next, like when you're at the grocery store, don't load your groceries onto the belt until the other person is paid. You know, I see a lot of people abiding by that.
Yeah, I see
a lot.
And
if a guy's up my keister, I'm going to say to him, dude, back up.
Jason, my local Acme, my local ShopRite, any local hardware store, they have the arrows.
Yes.
People are going the opposite way all the time.
No, I get it. You're
right. Because they feel like, oh, you know what? That's against my rights. I'm going to go down this aisle any way I want to go.
Well, there's that, and then there's just the oblivious nature, too.
That's
sometimes
true.
You just all of a sudden revert, and you don't even realize it. Like, I walked into Wawa the other day, and I was like, oh, my God, I don't have my mask.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't go into the store. I realized before, so I had to run back to the car.
Oh, you mean you didn't have a fit and you didn't go viral on
video? No, I did not. I did not go Karen.
Oh, good for you. I'm proud of you.
A lot of people do go Karen these days. And it's funny because one Karen seems to outdo the previous Karen.
We're gonna have a field of 64 of Karens.
Yeah, it's the Karen
seats.
Olympics. And I feel sorry for people named Karen because now they've been lumped in. But so there's no consideration for you. You go, okay, but let me take it a step further for you. What if the Phillies offer you the waiver?
Not going.
You're not going?
Nope.
So you're not going to any sporting event until what?
Until everybody's pretty much safe. I don't know where people are coming from. I you know, what if a person from Florida, you know, they...
Well, they have to quarantine if they come here from Florida.
Yeah, and people are going to do that?
They act like
there's
a
lot
customs
of rules.
When you come through Florida.
There's a lot of rules. The other day, one of the articles was posted about how we have to wear masks in Pennsylvania, Philadelphia area, right? It's mandatory. At the bottom of the article, in small print, this will not be policed by the police. This is going to be policed by you, the citizens. And I'm like... All right. Like, what? Is somebody actually
going to... But then you get in a fight, because if you're like, dude, put on your mask, and guy's like, F you.
Yeah, exactly. So what, you know, it's...
You become Johnny Law trying to police
it. Right. It's a good question for until what? Like, what's going to make me feel better? We are blessed right now that it's actually pretty good here, right?
Uh-huh.
It's pretty good here in PA. It's pretty good in Jersey. It's bad in other areas, but we're doing pretty good because I guess that we're listening to our leadership, which is, hey,
well, not
that's
only
a
that,
good idea.
Not only that, Andrew, but we were on the start of the timeline.
Yes.
So, like I said, it's not a straight line. Like, Florida didn't get it when New York got it. And, you know, it goes to their peaks are at different times.
Right.
So we're beyond our peak. Is it just the peak in Florida, or did they open to, or they didn't handle things? I don't know. That's all for other people to decide. I don't really want to discuss that
Correct.
Part of it.
Yes.
But we are here. We know when our peak was. We know how this state has handled it. So you wouldn't consider going to it. You're a baseball honk.
Yes.
You wouldn't consider going to a Phillies game?
No, unless I had
sitting in the outfield?
Unless I had some sort of media credential and I have the whole section of myself.
Well,
no, I don't want to be around people. I don't want to be around people that I don't know, people that I can't trust right now.
Okay.
I'm still not there yet.
So there's a lack of trust in your fellow citizen.
Yeah. I mean, I'm getting more comfortable.
Like, that's fair.
I saw my parents for the first time a couple weeks ago in a while, right? And it was like, all right, this was great to see them. But I still hesitated to go see them. Not that I don't trust them, but I don't trust the person that might be walking this hallway, and then God forbid I get it, I'm asymptomatic, I go to see my parents,
and then
see what happens.
They're
right?
older, so
exactly.
They're in a tougher situation.
And I don't want to deal with that, right? So I don't know if I can trust every other person that could be going to a game, waiver or no waiver.
Yeah, well, that's why I don't ride a motorcycle. It's very similar. I trust myself on a motorcycle. I don't trust other motorists on a motorcycle. You know what I mean? So it's kind of the same thing.
Yeah, you don't trust the dude in the truck that's going from the right lane to the fourth lane to the left.
Yeah, that's
going to
clip me, and then I'm screwed. So, but I'm wondering, and I really want to talk to everybody that goes down to the games, you diehard fans who give up so much. You give up those 8 Sundays, all the financial commitment that goes with it, the production of game day. Whatever it is, whether it's a Monday night game, and I know you all get down there real early for Monday night games, and Thursday night games, and Sunday night games, whatever it is, if the NFL is going to offer you, and the Eagles are going to offer you the ability to sign a waiver, and you can attend games, coming up in just about, what, 9 weeks is when the NFL would start its regular season, then are you going to sign that waiver? Is that a consideration at this point? You don't have to make the decision today because we are 9 weeks away. And what we know in this pandemic is that we don't know a lot. But what we do know is that things can change quickly in 9 weeks. They can change for the better. They can change for the worse. We don't know where this is going. We don't know what it's going to be like in October when flu season comes, as an example. But that being said, what you do know, you know some of the numbers. It's rising in areas. Deaths are still falling. Now, they may rise as because there's a lag. And look, you know your own body. Are you healthy? Are you somebody that could fight this off? Do you feel like that? Or are you diabetic and maybe feel compromised? Those are all considerations for each individual. But I want to, you know, I see those parking lots before games. We've all seen it, right?
Oh, yeah.
It's crazy. And I know what it means to Eagle fans to go to those games and to NFL fans. It's a big part of your fall. It's how you set your calendar, right? I want to know, are you willing to sign, are you willing to consider signing that waiver to go to games? Because what you're going to give up is you're releasing the claims that if I contract the coronavirus at the game, then I can't sue the NFL and say, you put me in a bad position. You're saying, hey, I'm coming of my own free will, and I understand that there's risk that I could get it here. And if I do, I'm not going to sue you for millions of dollars because I came to the game. So it's a release of claims. 610-632-0975. That is the number. E-Rock is going to check in at 10:30. He's big on the tailgate. He's big on big Eagle fan going to the games. Like, I envy the people that love going to the games and doing the whole production. I wish that I enjoyed it because it looks like fun, right?
Yes.
But anytime I do it, I'm like, oh, God, I just want to be home. You know what I mean?
At halftime, you're itching. You're like, oh, man, what are they talking about on the halftime show right now?
Yeah, well, it's that. You're right. The analysis, the replays, the ability to pay attention to the rest of the league better when you're at home and just the creature comforts at home. And they've done such a good job with the NFL on television.
Yep.
Like that sport, they've perfected the way to the drop off from being there to being at home is actually not a drop off, in my opinion. I prefer it at home. And being there is good in a different way, but it's so good on television with HDTV and everything else and the replays that I don't know. I just prefer it that way for me.
Oh, yeah.
Now, the other sports, that like the NBA, you go to an NBA game and you sit in a good seat, Andrew, that perspective is awesome. And TV doesn't do it justice, right? The NBA is good on television, but being there is even better. Same thing for hockey. A lot of people can't watch hockey on television. I have no problem with it. I love hockey on television, but being there is far better than watching it on television. Baseball, I guess it's kind of both. I mean, you can't attend every game. You could, but you'd be insane. It's a lot of games, you know, three nights in a row or whatever it would be in July and heat and all that. But baseball has an ambiance to it when you're there.
You can get up and move around a little bit. You can get distracted.
Yes.
Whereas at home, you're watching it. You're probably just going to look at your phone.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, it's just every other night, really.
Yeah, you hear the knock of the bat and you look up. So 610-632-0975. It's a very interesting article that Daniel Kaplan wrote on The Athletic. Again, the NFL considering the opportunity for fans to sign a waiver to head to games and to be there in the fall. They're not ruling out at this point either the ability to pack these stadiums at some point this season. It also says in the article, waivers are governed by state law and, speaking very generally and in over broad terms, are typically unenforceable depending on circumstances. Fans attending games, though, are assuming a level of risk by entering a stadium. In some of the guidelines, we encourage cashless transactions. So you'll have the ability to get recommendations to have pre-packaged, pre-ordered food if you can, as much as you can. And he said, you'll see that was a trend in some cases prior to COVID, but now it's just kind of in overdrive to have prepackaged food. So the team is working on this option, and I wonder if fans are considering it.
Are we allowed to bring hoagies again?
Well, that is it. Hoagie Gate all over again. You know, I mean, the vendors that are in the stadium don't want you to bring that. They'd rather have social distancing in line and have you buying their food. Let's get to the phones, and we'll talk to everybody today about this. I think it's really interesting discussion, and it's a really kind of, pardon the pun, but kind of moving the ball forward in an uncertain time. And this is the kind of the phrase that I feel like is so applicable right now. And tell me if you agree, Andrew, that the list of what we know for certain pales in comparison to the list of uncertainties. Like the list of uncertainties rolls out like a scroll that's like half a mile long.
Yes.
The things we know for certain right now and the things that we can control is on one page.
Which is why I'm not going to a game.
Okay.
That's why.
Yeah.
Who knows?
Do you go to the grocery store?
Yes. I do the mask and I do the hand sanitizer and I do everything I'm supposed to do. Trust me, I'm getting tired of it.
Yeah.
Don't get me wrong. I'm not like, oh yeah, this is great. I hate it.
Yeah.
But
there's some store, like I'll go to like Target if I need to get, there's some stores, I'm not going to say what they are, but like the lesser Target basically, where I'll go and I go, you know what? I'm not going back there because it's the Wild Wild West.
Right.
So I'm being careful and I have kids and the whole thing. So, and I'm not young. I'm not like your age, you know. I'm 48. So am I I'm not saying that I'm a massively compromised person. I'm relatively healthy, I think. But I'm being careful and wearing a mask and doing those things. And I wear a mask to protect me and protect other people because I don't know if I have it. I've never had the flu in my life. Knock on wood. Never. I talked to my brothers and my sister. They never had it. My parents never had it. I don't know if I'm immune to it. I haven't gotten the flu shot in years. So could I have it and just be, I don't know. Maybe I've had the flu and was asymptomatic. I have no idea. So I wear the mask to protect other people. All right, let's go to Ben in North Philly on the Fanatic. We can take a break? Okay, we'll take a break. I don't know the clock anymore. So 610-632-0975. Ben and Fred, you guys hang on and we'll get to your phone calls. Are you going to sign a waiver to go to NFL games? We're back after this on 97.5 The Fanatic.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
The Fanatic.
Here's what the story says. They put money in a pot and they try to get COVID, and whoever gets COVID first wins the pot. Are you kidding me?
Do you think their parents are proud of them for anything that they do now here on?
Oh my God.
That's not even kids.
This is
being,
like the
kids
purge.
Kids. This is just stupidity.
It's unbelievable considering the numbers and the severity of this. I mean, I don't know if I was 22 right now, 19, 21, whatever, college student, how I would be handling it. I'm not going to sit here and pretend that I would handle it with the same wisdom as a 48-year-old.
Right.
But I would like to think that I probably wouldn't be holding COVID parties.
No. I'd roll my eyes at the beginning of it when people were holding Corona parties, right? They're drinking Coronas.
Yeah.
And I was like, all right, dude, come on. But this, they're literally trying to get infected. Like, they're competing. And then you'll get the response, well, it's not even that serious. You know, young people don't die from it. Like, okay, I get it.
Yeah, but you can give it to someone else.
Uh-huh.
It's not.
I mean, look at the Clemson football team. They had like 50 or 25 players.
Yeah, 23 players.
And then what happens? They then go on to hang out with their friends. Then they get it. And it's just it's a chain effect. And I don't understand why we as a society don't understand that yet.
Yeah, this is, maybe we've done a bad job in the education system.
I guess.
I mean, look, here's what I know. Through coronavirus, the teachers don't get paid enough. Because I had to try and homeschool my kids through this when the schools got shut down. And I didn't need any more reassurance that academically I'm no all-star. I remembered from when I was in school. But I got even a starker reminder during coronavirus trying to help my seventh grader, sixth grader, and third grader.
You weren't just teaching. You too were learning.
No, I wasn't. I could have used a tutor, put it that way. I couldn't help. When it came to math, I couldn't help. Now, they teach it different. It's called Common Core now.
Yep.
And I would go and I would Google the answer to the problem and try and reverse engineer it. Still couldn't figure it out. Couldn't help. And then you're getting emails from teachers like, your daughter is not passing home ec or cooking. I'm like, yeah, I don't care. Sorry. No offense.
Yeah, it's like the I always
core four here.
I always like to say no offense to the college professors that teach Earth or whatever. Andrew, you've missed six classes out of a possible eight. Well, yeah, it's because I'm currently working all my final projects at the other
that are going to affect me.
My important, my journalism courses.
Yeah,
I'm not going for earthly studies.
Yeah, like my son, they're like, your son didn't complete his gym stuff. I'm like, he's active, all right. He's fine.
Wait, what is gym stuff when you're work?
They had assignments that they wanted him to do for phys ed.
What?
I don't know.
Push-ups?
Look, they were in an impossible position as well. So, but when I see Alabama students are attending COVID-19 parties and gambling who gets sick first, you want to line them up and just smack them all down. That's unbelievable to me. 610-632-0975. We're going to get to your rant about the reliever rule. Is that what you're going to rant about?
It's not much of a rant. It's just, I don't know if I like it or not.
What it accomplishes?
Yeah, like the rule that they have to pitch to three batters. Mm-hmm. And I get it. It is to speed up the game. But at the same time,
it could slow it down. The guy's got nothing. He's going to get smacked around.
And, well, you're also just you're changing. You want to talk about the shift to be taken away. That is a strategic element.
Yeah, so is changing pitchers.
Exactly. And I get it's going to make the game faster. But, now you have to.
See, I don't know that it is.
Whatever.
I don't know that it makes the game faster. If you get a guy, if a guy goes in, gets one out, and then you can put in the next pitcher to get one out, is that faster than a guy getting in there and has nothing and gets smacked around by three batters and then?
No, it will be fast. Sent. Well, if you get smacked around, then the game extends.
And that's why you take him out, because he's got nothing that day. The arm's shot. All right, we'll get to your rant on that. And I want to see, I want you to come up with a fix then. If you are against limiting or eliminating the shift, which is drastic, I get it, but it fixes everything in my opinion. If you're against that, then give me a solution. So stay tuned.
That's my solution.
Yeah, well, a lot of people aren't dealing with it. Mark in the Northeast is on the Fanatic. Mark.
Hi, how you doing, guys?
What's up, buddy?
I wanted to talk about baseball and what you were talking about, the shift. I think the only way you can solve the shift is let the guys stop worrying about hitting home runs and pulling the ball. Then you don't need a shift.
Yeah, well, that's the thing, though, Mark. Pitching is so good right now and so precise that they force you to hit the ball. And baseball is a numbers game. They know that, Ryan Howard's going to hit the ball to the right side.
Yeah, but they do 92% to every player, don't you think? I mean, if you go out there, it's always, they're always setting up defense for certain players. I mean, so,
absolutely.
Since baseball began, don't you think? I mean,
but the trickle down effect of that, Mark, is this: that if Ryan Howard or any batter, whatever, is going to hit the ball to the right side 96% of the time, and they're going to stick seven fielders on the right side of the field, so the only way for that batter to really accomplish anything is by launch angle and hitting the ball out of the park. And now what happens as a byproduct of that? The ball's never in play.
Right. Well, yeah, but I think Charlie Manning would say, with Ryan Howard, he'd strike out, three times and hit the home run. He had a great game.
I get it, but now that's pronounced. He's a power hitter, but that's pronounced through an entire lineup. And when you go an average of 4.5 to 5 minutes of real time for the ball to be in play in a baseball game, and the games are over 4 hours long, what's better? Is it feasible to say, all right, you can't stick seven guys on the right side of the field? You have quadrants that you have to play in.
But these are professionals. This is what bothers me the most. If these guys are professionals. They get paid to do this. Mm-hmm. They get paid to make me say, yo, hit the ball the other way. You know what I mean? What are you doing hitting it that way?
Well, but again, it's easier said than done. You see the whole left side of the field open? Just slap one down the left side? It's not, you can't. The pitchers are going to pitch you in a spot where you can't.
You really believe that? Where, I mean, every pitcher, I mean, this, I mean, some pitchers.
Well, then why aren't we seeing it? Why aren't we seeing it, Mark?
Because they're pulling the ball. That's why.
Okay, because they can't hit it the other way outside of this.
If they could hit it. I think they want the home run. It's more, you get more money for a home run than you get for a single down, right?
But you want to win.
Yeah.
If you can drive in a guy on third.
That's my theory, that we want to win. We want to win. The player, he wants to win, but you know what?
What?
At the end of the whole season, he wants the money. Don't you think?
Yeah, well, it's their job. I get it, but they want to win. The players aren't there to hit home runs to make money. They want to win.
Yeah, right, but if they really thought about winning, I mean, small ball. That won.
Okay, but first of all, that's
right?
Not...
I mean, like, okay. Didn't that win?
Okay, thanks for your call. First of all, they're not being told to do that by their managers. To varying degrees, and Gabe Kapler was here, and we know where he was analytically. If they could hit the ball to the left side, they would, with a guy on third base. That one at bat to drive in that winning run is not going to hold them back from making money. RBIs make money too, right, Andrew?
Yes.
So, do you believe that it is a matter of pitchers being so good too, to force you to hit the ball where they want you to hit the ball into their shift? They'll pitch you inside.
I mean, you also have scouting reports on every single player. You want to talk about analytics.
And 500 at-bats that play it out.
Yeah, I mean, scouting reports, analytics have been around all along. Scouting reports, right? Oh, this guy can't hit the high fastball. So, yeah,
you
so
change throw. Your center fielder to right center.
Yeah,
or
I mean,
whatever.
I get it. You're not using a computer, but you're using your eye and you go, all right, this guy doesn't hit it the other way. This guy can't hit a high fastball. So throw it high and shift over that way. It happens all the time.
Yep.
It's been happening since the beginning of time with baseball, I'm sure. I wasn't around in the early 1900s, but I'm sure they were doing that. I don't know. Like, he seemed upset that they don't hit the ball the other way. Well, what are you going to do? You going to make a rule? Like, oh, this at bat, you have to hit it the other way.
Well, if the other way is wide open because everybody shifted to the right side, then that would seem feasible. Like, it's like, okay, I want to hit it there. And I would if I could. But the fact of the matter is pitching is so good and I can't hit it the other way.
Yeah.
Otherwise, I would.
And Jake Arrieta, remember, he complained about it.
Yeah, he did.
I think it was 2 years ago. He complained about the amount of shifts that Gabe Kapler implemented. And he asked for there to be less shifts because he doesn't want to pitch a specific way. He doesn't want to have to pitch inside for the guy to turn on the ball and to hit a grounder to the deep second baseman who's out in the outfield like we used to see with Ryan Howard all the time.
Yeah.
So I guess it's a preference for some pitchers.
Yeah.
But some pitchers,
old school.
A lot of these pitchers are coming up from the minor leagues where they've been implemented in the minor leagues far before Major League Baseball.
Yeah,
right?
Youth ball.
Yeah, it's been a testing ground. Mm-hmm. I remember Dusty Wathan, who a lot of people wanted to be manager over Gabe Kapler. Dusty Wathan was like the king of analytics in AAA.
Yeah.
He did all that kind of stuff. He did shifts. He did analytics. He did all that stuff. And because he wasn't the Major League level, nobody complained about it. But these guys are learning this way. They're learning... Hey, I can't hit a 1-0 fastball, so I'm going to look at it no matter what. Like, they're learning these things.
It's being bred into baseball because they're learning it at younger levels, and the way to get to the big leagues is by doing it.
They're teaching launch angles to little leaguers at this point.
Yeah, see, that's the problem. And the solution is simple. It's to limit or eliminate the shift. You have zones, like the shortstop can't go past this imaginary line, or you put a line on the field. I don't care. You know what I mean? You make drastic measures to improve it. In hockey, they had goalies that were playing the puck, and it was killing forechecks. So they put the trapezoid. They put lines on the field of play to limit the amount of area that he could touch a puck. That's drastic, and it helped. And look, all sports want to do one thing. They want to boost offense, right?
Yep.
Wouldn't limiting or eliminating the shift boost offense?
Of course.
And speed up the game in the process? Because you wouldn't have these at-bats where you're just trying to hit the home run and you'd put the ball in play more and there would be more action in the game as well. If the ball's in play, you can get an out just as quick as a strikeout.
Yeah, but I also think pitchers have gotten far better. I mean, every starting pitcher at this point, anybody that's under the age of 26 is throwing mid-90s fastball at this point.
Yeah, I remember... working with Anthony before, talking about that article Jason Stark had, like 5 years ago, there were four pitchers that averaged over 95. 5 years later, it was like 94 pitchers average over 95 miles
an
hour.
None of them pitch for the Phillies.
Yeah, that's right. 610-632-0975. Let's go to Alex and Horsham on the Fanatic. Hey, Al.
Hey, Jason. Hey, Chunas. What's going on? Back in the midday slot.
How you doing, man?
Good, man. It's good to hear you. So just calling in. I wanted to wish you guys both a happy 4th, kind of living the life today, man. Early day off.
Already, man? It's Thursday.
Yeah, man. Thursday, Friday, the weekend, and then the wraparound on Monday. Nice 5-day chunk.
Ooh, it's good work, man. Enjoy it.
Thanks. So I heard you guys were talking about the NFL waiver situation. So just kind of wanted to call and check in on that and just say, so I think it's kind of the NFL's approaching it in like the best way that they can, I think. I think it's kind of a fluid situation, right? So if they're going with this approach of, okay, we could potentially have fans in the stands if they sign a waiver, I think that allows them, you know, if this continues to get worse or, you know, we continue to see these spikes happening, they have that back door to say, okay, we can go back to having the no fans. But if they're the first league back, you know, in the U.S. and they are able to have the fans back in the stands with that waiver, I think it kind of eliminates the empty experience. And it kind of is going to, you know, I personally think the NFL is handling it in a good manner.
Yeah, I do too. And here's why. And I kind of what you're saying is I think the NFL is just not closing any doors. Why close a door now when you don't have to? It's the one thing that I think the NBA had a little bit of a misstep in, is that they determined and they locked themselves in to a location before they had to. Like they locked themselves into Orlando. And now if they knew then when they made the decision on Orlando what they know now, they wouldn't have made the decision on Orlando. They would have made the decision to go to Toronto and play out of the Raptors facilities. You know what I mean? Or something.
Yeah, exactly. No, I'm definitely on the same page with you. It's just closing the doors and eliminating, you know, your ability to kind of take this day by day, I think, is faulty way to approach it. So,
yeah.
Good note on that. And then about Matty Rhule, huh? Pretty exciting.
What, coaching in Carolina?
Yeah, absolutely. Very excited for that. The Temple to Carolina connection is, I'm excited for him.
The Temple to Baylor to Carolina. I had a chance to talk to him. I was doing a podcast with Baldy. And he came on with us, and just hearing him talk, he gets you pumped up. I like Matt Rhule a lot as well. And I think that he's bringing that culture in down there that he's known for. It should be really interesting to see what kind of effect he has there. Now, the thing is, in the NFC East, you don't have a division of donkey coaches anymore. You got Ron Rivera in Washington now.
Good coach.
Which I'm surprised that Daniel Snyder is going to hire a guy that's a no-nonsense guy. He's not going to put up with his crap,
right?
Presumably, even though others did. You look at in New York and Joe Judge. I don't know what Joe Judge is going to be. Is Daniel Jones the quarterback that's going to be great? It could be.
Yeah. Doug Peterson was an out-of-nowhere coach, too, so we'll see.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm going to write off Joe Judge yet.
You know, and you have Mike McCarthy in Dallas now, and you don't have Garrett, but Garrett's the offensive coordinator, which he may be good at in New York. So it's interesting to see how this division, how that plays out. I know everybody was outraged by the coach rankings that guy put out from CBS Sports. And I'm going to have some thoughts on that in a minute. Did you guys talk about that yesterday?
Yes, 2 days ago, yeah.
Yeah.
There's some bogus Sean McVay, come on.
Yeah, but what I'm going to say is that the Philly fans took the bait again. And I'm going to give you an analogy of why not to take the bait from these guys. And a reason why. And it comes from Jeff Van Gundy. Stay tuned. I'll give you that in a minute. Jason and Cherry Hills on the Fanatic. Jay.
Yo, is this Martinez?
That's the name they gave me, brother.
Dude, you are a voice from the past. Welcome back, my friend.
It's the present, too, man.
Past, present. That's right. Happy, you know,
I'm not going to say future, man.
Hey, past, future, present. Your name is great because you got my name. So what can I tell you?
There you go.
Chunas, you are the man, by the way.
Thanks.
Listen, I wanted to talk basketball, and you just literally made a comment that I was going to make. Like, the NBA making this decision to go to Orlando and blocking, or like you just said, like kind of like locking themselves in, I think is you're not going to be able to control this situation. All right, I think that you're it's got a lot of false hope to it, and you're going to have a lot of guys who are kids, basically, grow up and make sure that they're taking care of their own responsibilities so the league can actually function on some level. Because, obviously, the virus is, you know, going crazy in Florida. And I just thought that, you know, there's a little bit of a like too much excitement maybe, because there still is a very good chance that they could pull the plug on this. And I would just wanted to talk to you about that real quick and get your thoughts.
Yeah, I don't know if the NBA has a contingency that if things continue to get worse and worse in Florida, and they're going to report, what, next week?
I believe so.
To the bubble? I don't know if they have a contingency for another location. And again, one thing I mentioned, Jay, is I don't know their threshold of what they're expecting and they can deal with from a positive test standpoint for players and staff, and what the line is, the tipping point of, okay, that's too many, we have to shut it down. I don't know what it is. The leagues have not articulated that. None of the leagues have. I know that they're all anticipating that, yeah, there's going to be a player that tests positive.
But if it's going to be a primetime guy, then chances are they're going to probably pull the plug pretty quickly if that spirals out of control.
Well, if it does, you're right. And if it spreads through an entire, like, say, we brought up this scenario on the Saturday show with Pat Egan that I did. What if in the NBA Finals the Lakers get there, right? They're up 2-0 on Milwaukee.
No, what do you mean? Why aren't the Sixers in this scenario? What are you doing to me here?
Well, I'm taking your fandom out of the equation. Because,
come on,
because you got to look at
it. You're killing me.
No, but I want to take your fandom out of the equation. They're up 2-0, but then LeBron tests positive.
Right.
And Milwaukee goes on to win 4 straight games. Is that a legit NBA title?
I mean, I don't know if there's the word legit can even be equated to anything right now because the whole world is turned upside down.
Yeah.
So, you know, is legit even a word in today's 2020 dictionary? I don't know.
Thanks for the call, Jay. It's definitely different. It's going to be known as the COVID championship or the COVID cup or the difference for me is this, is that the NBA and the NHL played 85% of their season. So the teams that are playoff bound were pretty much determined. The reason why baseball automatically gets the asterisk for me, and I don't know if you agree with this, Andrew, is because they're playing a third of their season when they had the ability to play more, much more than just 60 games. But because of the tit for tat and the public negotiation and, you know, trying to win the PR war in the return to play, they weren't able to do that. And determine, I brought up the stat. It was through 50 games last season, the Washington Nationals, who won the World Series, had a record of 19-31.
Yeah, dead last.
The same record as the Florida Marlins. So that gives you kind of a look at what the first 50 games in baseball mean. Not much, right?
Right.
And now you can say every game means the same amount. It does. We get it. But baseball is a war of attrition. So when you see that, and then they're going to play 60 games, that 10 games isn't that much of a difference. That's why baseball automatically gets an asterisk for whoever wins the World Series. And I don't care if it's the Dodgers or I don't care if it's the Yankees. Because it's not enough games to properly determine the playoff team.
Right. Even if they did 80, there would be an asterisk next to it. Even if they did 120, I would put an asterisk next to it.
I wouldn't.
I would be, for until they say this is the legit season, right, which they should eventually.
See, that's legit to me, 120.
Okay.
That's legit.
But 60, 80, definitely you put an asterisk next to it. And I've been saying that even whoever wins the Stanley Cup or whoever wins the NBA Finals, there's an asterisk next to it.
Yeah, see, I don't put an asterisk next to those because, they've played 85% of their season.
Uh-huh.
And they're going to, and it's different. I'm not saying it's not different than a normal year, but it's not asterisk worthy.
Okay.
Like Major League Baseball's got an asterisk already from a couple years ago with their Astros.
Yeah. Yes.
You know, and they got that was a cheating scandal. This is a self-inflicted wound of asterisk by taking so long to return to play and come to an agreement. So that's why it gains the, but that is not to say I don't want the sport back.
Right.
You want it back.
You want it back. Yeah.
Because I'll look at it in singular nature.
Yes.
So
I can't wait.
Jason Love tweets in and he says, he's got the fix for baseball. He says, to speed up baseball, we should have the players wear the old wool uniforms they wore in the dead ball era. It would cut down on the lollygagging of players in the summer heat. Hitters won't step out of the batter's box 10 times because they're just going to want to get to a cool location because they're going to be boiling in a wool uniform.
Damn right.
Think that will work?
No, because then the pitcher's going to be collapsing on the mound.
Yeah, you're right. Maybe you can wear a breathable for the pitchers.
Yes.
And everybody else wear the wool. 610-632-0975. It is the Midday Show right here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Gabe, his head's going to explode. Oh, do I have to move the runner? What launch you 38 degrees to move the runner?
I'm so thankful that he's not here anymore because he spoke with the NBC Sports affiliate at the Bay Area,
yeah,
in San Francisco. And they asked him how he's going to handle managing this season. And he said, like, every game's a playoff game.
Oh,
you know he's
going to be 6 hours long.
Oh my God, he's going to overmanage like crazy.
He overmanages spring training games.
And they don't even have a good team in San Fran, so he's still going to try so hard.
Has he got Lincecum?
No.
It's no. Buster Posey?
Yes. Posey's still out there.
Still out there. Does he have, who's the beard? I can't remember the guy with the beard.
Brian Wilson? No, he's not there anymore either.
It's not that team anymore?
No, it's been a while.
Oh, damn.
Since those guys have been gone.
Sheesh. Let's go. John and Moorestown's on the Fanatic. Hey, John.
Hey, what's up, Jason?
What's up, buddy?
I just had a couple comments on, I guess, changes baseball can make. I'm kind of with you on the shift. And I'm a baseball nut, you know, like a purist. I guess in the sense that I would change the shift in terms of I wouldn't let, say, the shortstop, I wouldn't let him move past second base. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Or you
would have zones that they can play in.
Yeah, yeah, and I really would rather have them not into the outfield. I mean, maybe the edge of the grass. I don't know how you would regulate.
Yeah,
that.
I mean, look, you can, like, you've always been able to shade in baseball, right? Like, you can shade to left center, or you can shade toward the middle of the infield. But you can't stick seven guys on the right side of second base. Like, that's insane, right?
Yeah, it's bothered me. And again, I'm a baseball fanatic, and I don't want to see it changed too much, but I think that would create more balls in play. I mean, they're already, you know, shooting for the home run anyway, and I understand that. That's kind of the statistical era that we live in, mm-hmm. meaning like OPS matters more than your batting average.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like the 3-point shot shooting 40% is better than shooting 50% from the 2-pointer. You know what I'm saying?
Yep. Yep.
So I get that, but at the same time, I think there's some other things baseball needs to do. I'm actually cool with the relievers having to face three guys, correct?
Yeah, three batters.
See, I'm cool with that because I don't want to see like a righty lefty, you know, righty come in
specialist.
Yeah, man, that's what slows it down. Mm. And I tell you, if the guy comes in for his three batters and he gets rocked, oh, well, that's exciting.
Yeah. What about the DH? You cool with the DH, the universal DH?
I want the universal DH, too. I'm all about it.
I love how some people are just totally outraged by that.
I don't understand that, because I'll tell you right now, we've been doing interleague play for 20 years now.
Yeah.
And if you remember when they first started it was like a, you know, a 20 game thing for like two or three weeks they did it at one time. Now interleague play is kind of spread out throughout the season.
Yeah, it's interspersed.
Yeah, there's no set time. So, and nobody wants to see the pitcher hit, you know.
Yeah.
These guys get hurt enough.
Yeah, but everybody says, well, the strategy of, do you leave the pitcher in because he's got a hit and all that stuff, takes the strategic element away. The shift takes away a strategy. Do you want the sport to be better or not?
Yeah, they shouldn't have ruined interleague play, though.
How'd they ruin interleague play? By making American League teams not use the DH in
no.
National League ballpark?
No, I don't care about the DH thing. I did it like a couple years ago, but they've been talking about this for years, right? So
it's enough to just, it needs to be uniform.
It's still going to like when it first happens, not counting this year because this year is totally different. When it first happens, whether it's next year or 2022, I'm still going to be like, ah, this kind of sucks. But at the same time, like I've been expecting it for 5-6 years.
Yeah.
I don't want to play the Royals in April. I miss when it was, you know, the mid-June, mid-July.
Yeah.
When, oh, the Red Sox are in town, mid-July.
Yeah.
Now it's like, hey, it's April 30th, and the Red Sox, I don't know.
Yeah.
I feel like they junked it up.
Well, they do too much of it now.
Yes.
It needs to, like, the thing that's cool about the NFL is that they play the AFC every year, and, you know, in the NBA, they play the Western Conference, but in baseball, there was difference. It was like, there were two leagues that met at the World Series. And then they brought interleague play, and they've expanded interleague play. And I agree with you. It's become too much because that was a cool little niche element of Major League Baseball is that, hey, the American League's one league, National League's another league. We'll mm-hmm. Our best will see you in the World Series. And that was cool. But you're right.
It's right around the All-Star break, too, right? Yeah. So you're going to see the best of the National League versus the best American League. Now, you know, now you're playing Kansas City in April.
Well, look, I like what baseball is doing this year, though, too, with the regional. Like, hey, you have two teams in New York. Philly should play both those teams equal amounts. You know, but let's make it regional. Let's get rid of the American League and the National League.
Nah.
And create, like, these divisions based on regions.
No, I'll do that.
Yeah, see?
No. You can keep American League, National League. Come on, man.
You can call it whatever you want, all right? You can have the title.
The way it is. You don't have to change things.
God.
They have to do it now. I'm okay with that. Well, don't be changing the American. What's the All-Star game? Are you going to do, they're going to pick, right? How they do LeBron and Giannis, and they draft their players?
Yeah.
Are we going to draft the All-Star
teams? They're basically doing that already, aren't they, in the NBA? Aren't they basically doing that every offseason?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, what legal tampering?
Yeah.
Legal tampering.
610-632-0975. Jason in Southwest Philly's on the phone. Jack.
Yo, Jace. I tell you, I missed hearing your Kapler impressions.
You're the only one. You're the only one that missed it.
It's hilarious. It cracks me up every time. But listen, you have to shorten the season. That's a no-brainer. We've been talking about it for years. And you got to extend the playoffs. But you can't get rid of the shift. The problem's not the shift. The problem is that once you get the AAA ball and the majors, they're not teaching these kids how to pull the ball or hit opposite field. Everything is launch angle and home runs.
Yeah, but that's a byproduct of the shift. Because the shift's there, they teach that.
Because the shift's there, so I'm saying they're not teaching kids how to hit the opposite field. You're seeing people.
Because you can.
Sometimes you see guys. Yes, you can. What do you mean you can't? Yes, you can.
If they could, they would, wouldn't they?
Because they're not trying to. They're trying to hit home runs, and it goes back to.
I know, because you can't control where you're going to hit the ball. Because every time I hit the ball, it goes to the right side. Then that's where I'm going to hit the ball. And they're going to pitch me in a way to pitch me into the shift.
Jace, it's baseball facts. You open up your stance, you swing a little bit.
Then why does nobody do it? Why does nobody do it?
Because no one wants to, because they're all concerned about hitting.
Okay, what about players that are 30-plus years old right now that were? What about players that are 30-plus years old right now that didn't come up with the shift? Why can't they do it?
Some of them do it, but most of them are, if they're older, they're basically still in the league because they're power hitters, so they're just going to hit the ball.
That's not true. That's not true. The shift is what necessitates the strategy of trying to hit the ball out of the park. Because baseball is a game of numbers, and the numbers don't lie after 500 at-bats. If out of 500 at-bats, I hit 462 balls to the right side, they're going to shift into it, and then they're going to pitch me to hit it to that side as well. And pitchers are so accurate and precise now that they're not going to leave a ball out of the plate where I can slap it to the left side.
Accuracy and precision has been the same in baseball. If you want to talk about velocity, I'll give you that. But there've been plenty of accurate pitches.
Yeah, but now there's
nothing has changed.
The hard thrower Jay didn't have the accuracy. Now the guy can throw 95 and paint the corner on the inside.
Some of them, yes, because that comes
more than ever
and release and all that.
Yeah, right. more than ever.
But velocity has changed and increased greatly, but accuracy, I can't give you that.
Well, there was guys that were really obvious, like Maddox, who was a guy that didn't have velocity but had tremendous accuracy and was a great pitcher. like a boxer and not a fighter, right? Like Randy Johnson was a fighter, a brawler, and Greg Maddux was a boxer.
He's a tactician.
Yeah. I mean, that's what he did. I mean, they pitch you in a way where they're trying to determine the only place you can hit the ball, which is right into the teeth of your shift, which is, again, if you don't have the shift, yeah, they're going to try and determine it, but there's not going to be seven players on the right side. I don't get why this is so hard to understand. I'm no baseball expert. I'm not. But if you limit or eliminate the shift into this pronounced way that it is now, it fixes the problem. And this notion that...
You think that alone fixes everything?
Not everything. But it's a huge step in the right direction. And it is going to take balls for Major League Baseball to do it. And I don't think that they got the stones to do it.
They had the stones to do this reliever rule. I think they would. If they think that's a part of the problem, I think they'd do it.
Well, why don't they recognize it's part of the problem?
Because they may go, this is a strategic element of the game. Now, again, I say that, and the reliever rule, that's part of the strategic element.
Yeah, so they're not averse to doing it, so messing with the strategic element.
Maybe they do, but
and
maybe they don't think
it's a problem. Putting a guy on second in extra innings, that's a strategic element now.
Well, they're doing that now this year because of...
They don't want games going on until exactly. 2 in the morning. And they're already 4 hours long.
Yes.
So, I mean, look, I got to look at it, and I go, what's the trickle-down effect of the shift? Well, it affects everything. It's approach. It's pitching. It's trying to get the guy to hit the ball where you have all your players. This isn't rocket science. And if you can't put all your players on the side where the guy generally hits the ball, then you don't have to hit it out of the park. And you can just put bat on ball and put it in play. It brings the sport back. And I get the strategic element of it. And you can compare it to the NFL and say, you can't put five guys in the box or eight guys in the box on an obvious third and one. The difference is the NFL product ain't broken. Major League Baseball problem, it is in a lot of people's eyes. Maybe the league doesn't see it that way. I think they see it because they're making other efforts to speed up games.
Oh, yeah, of course. They had that stupid pitch clock.
Yeah, and they're not oblivious to it. 610-632-0975. Let's go to media and talk to Ray. What's up, Ray?
Yo, Mercedes.
What's up, man?
What's going on? It's actually Ryan. I don't know, but it's cool.
What's up, Ryan?
Doing good, man. Never called in with you on the station before. I just started calling in during the pandemic time, so it's cool to talk to you. I've been listening for a long time.
Thank you.
So, as far as the baseball thing, I totally agree with you as far as the shift being a problem. And I do think it's led to the launch angle nonsense and, you know, some of that stuff, which has messed with, you know, just some of baseball period with the small ball kind of leaving the game and everything. And I know people don't like that, but I mean, I like the small ball. I like the stealing bases and all that kind of stuff. The only thing I would say about outlawing the shift is, you might be hamstringing the evolution of the game. You know, anytime someone comes up with something like the shift in baseball or comes up with a new strategy in football or something else, like something else always comes up eventually to beat it or to work against it. And mm-hmm. That's the only thing you might be hamstringing the game. I mean, as far as like it used to drive me nuts when they started that shift. I would say one of the first players they started doing that huge overshift with was Ryan Howard.
Mm-hmm.
If you remember after those monster seasons he had,
yeah,
and he would rip those singles through, you know, all yep. the time, even if he wasn't hitting a home run. And I always wondered, like, and I know they're not paying the guy to bunt, and he's not running, you know, but I mean, when they put the whole team on the one side of the field, and you need a runner on, especially in a key situation, maybe you could even pinch run for it. Like why did they never do that? Like, and he used to hit the ball the opposite way a lot early in his career. So I just don't know why more guys don't hit the opposite way. I mean, and that wasn't that long ago. That wasn't ancient history that he was hitting the ball the opposite way.
But it's crazy because, Ray, like, baseball has gone on, like, warp speed of the embracing of analytics and the shift and all that stuff and launch angle in the last 5 years.
Yeah.
It's changed more in the last 5 years than probably than the previous 40 years before it.
You're probably
you know what
right.
I mean? I mean, maybe that's an overstatement, but what has changed in baseball since 2015 to now is the game looks totally different. And look, they've eliminated you know, strategic things in sports before. The NBA and the defensive 3-second violation. And yeah, I mean, look, they change strategic elements of defense in basketball, haven't they?
You know what I mean?
Yeah. So, why is sports averse to that? If it helps the game, then why, because it's a strategic element, is it out of bounds? Like, I don't get that.
I think baseball...
I know, I'm getting, like, ad nauseum here with you, but...
Well, I wonder if baseball looks at it this way. When you talk about baseball, what's the highlight? It's the home run and then, like, the diving catch, right?
Yeah.
The ground out's not a highlight. So maybe they go, oh, well, yeah, they are forced to hit home runs.
Well, then just let players use performance-enhancing drugs. Because that helps.
Yes, it does.
And they rode that wave to popularity in 97, or nine, what was it, 98?
Yeah, until it came out, until people started figuring out exactly what was going on.
Oh, like we didn't know.
Yeah, well,
when McGuire, his forearms were like Paul Bunyan, and he was swinging a tree limb. You know what I mean?
Yes.
He had like a 48-ounce bat, and he's swinging it like it's a toothpick.
Yeah, I mean,
yeah, he's not on roids. I mean,
yeah, and
Brady Anderson goes to 52 home runs, right. And they're hitting 16.
The scary thing is, you're not going to be able to have PEDs help save the game, right?
Not this time.
Right now, it's you just have to hope that people really enjoy a shortened season, a 60-game season, and they get invested into at least their local team,
mm-hmm.
and that helps a little bit. Like, maybe there's a rebirth of love for the Philadelphia Phillies for the fringe baseball fan. Because I go back to, I mean, look at 2008 through 2012, or 2011. They had to sell out every single night.
07, really, to 2012.
Yes. And
right?
I know that seems like a lifetime ago, because it was 10 years. But, all right, it was only 10 years ago. And
but
I remember
the game was different 10 years ago, too, though.
Yeah.
That was just kind of a throwback team.
It wasn't as...
Comparing it to now.
Yeah, and it wasn't as much analytically based. I get all that, but mm-hmm. there was obviously love for the winning team.
Of course.
Hopefully in a major...
You're going to bring it people.
In a major city, right? Like, maybe the Royals don't... Well, actually, the Royals had a great fan base when they were winning. If baseball wins, the problem is it's unfair for a lot of teams, right? In terms of the no cap and... The Yankees have unlimited money every single year, whereas the Kansas City Royals win based off of just their scouting department, and then they win a World Series, and then everybody has to leave because they can't sign the damn players. Look at the Marlins.
Yeah.
They had Stanton, Yelich, and Ozuna in the outfield. In the same outfield.
Yeah.
And J.T. Realmuto behind the plate. They had to get rid of everyone because they couldn't afford them.
Because they can't afford it, and because they have no gate. Look, Pittsburgh is a team that's developed players for years but could never keep them, right?
Oh, never.
Yeah, you're right. You're right about that. So, I mean, I don't know what the fix is. And
is salary cap a fix to even out the league? I mean, basketball is great this year. Why? Because this is the first time. Yes, like a lot of people said, it's either the Clippers or the Lakers who win the championship, right? Like, people make that prediction.
But that's not a foregone conclusion.
No, it's not. I mean, look at the West. The West is stacked. The East has some good... I mean, the Sixers shouldn't be a sixth seed, right? They should be higher.
Yeah. But the fact that you have a team with that talent that is a sixth seed is...
It tells you something. It says that the talent in the NBA... Yeah, it says that the talent in the NBA has been more evened out. It's not the same super teams. Yes, the Clippers are a great team because they have Kawhi and Paul George and a bunch of great role players, Lou Williams, Patrick Beverley. You know, they got Landry Shamet out there hitting threes. Obviously, they're a great team, but it's not the big three. It's not the big four like Golden State had.
Yeah.
So maybe if baseball, I don't know, if they implement some sort of a cap. You look at the Yankees. I know the Yankees have been a disappointment, but they still have Judge and Stanton.
Yeah, and they spend... four times the amount of other teams. It's so unfair.
Yeah, they got Garrett Cole. How unfair is that? Because they can. They don't afford him.
Okay, baseball, try and put a cap in your next CBA. Good luck.
Yeah, well, exactly.
We'll see you a year after that, because there's no way. That's a total non-starter for the players. Players are already complaining that, and I think they have a valid complaint here, is that while revenues have risen to 10-plus billion in baseball, their pay hasn't been commensurate with the rise of league revenue.
Some players have.
I mean, well, some, yeah, but
Mike Trout's getting $400 million,
but overall, salaries haven't risen along
right
in total.
Yeah, your league minimum's still pretty low.
Yeah, and but like the average amount being paid out of the revenue is a smaller piece of the pie than it was when the league revenue was $7 billion. So, I get that issue. Like the sport's making money. Then you got idiots like that guy in St. Louis. Who comes out and says being a baseball owner is not that profitable.
Yeah, that guy's a moron.
You're in St. Louis, dude. That. Like, your team can suck.
Yeah, you're in baseball heaven.
and you get a sellout. So settle down. And you bought the team for $150 million in 95, and it's now worth $2.6 billion, and it's not good business. What kind of return were you expecting on your dollars?
Yeah, well, I want to read a tweet real quick from Tim McManus. This was actually reported by Jeff Mosher earlier this morning, confirmed by Tim.
Yeah, I was going to bring this up. I just saw this as well. It's interesting.
Yeah, Eagles coaches and essential staff will undergo a mandatory quarantine in Philadelphia area before being tested for COVID-19 in advance of camp. They need to be in Philly by July 10th. They're scheduled to be tested on the 17th. Protocols for camp include daily COVID tests for all staff entering training facility and mandatory mask wearing, as sources added. Rookies are tentatively scheduled to report around the 21st, vets on the 28th.
It's amazing. Originally, the NFL said they were all going to report on the 28th. Why did the 21st seems early, especially when they've just canceled now two preseason games? You're not going to play a preseason game. When is that? The August 20th is the first preseason game now?
Yes.
I mean, because it's a late year, because Labor Day is late right. This year. But August 20th, so you're going to have players in camp for a month before you even get to a game. Now, I guess they want to do that, too, because...
They missed OTAs.
They didn't get a chance to make any impression yet, the young players. And you limit the amount of people that are there for a period of time.
And you limit... Because you're down to two preseason games, you probably want to get a head start on... Looking at these rookies.
You got to get more tape on them.
I mean, there's a lot of guys that depend on weeks 3 and 4 in the preseason to try to make a roster.
Yeah. I heard Pat was reporting on that this morning, that the NFL has eliminated two preseason games and they're going to have just weeks 2 and 3. And it's the best thing to happen in 2020. And he's dead right. It's the first positive thing to happen in the year 2020 now that we're in the second half of the year.
Dude, you're not excited for the Eagles-Jets game?
No.
I love the Eagles-Jets game.
Yeah, that fourth one was...
It's a sign.
Yeah.
That season's about to start.
Well, look, and you kind of alluded to it with baseball, and we've alluded to it with the NBA, and this is also, we're alluding to it now in the NFL. This is an opportunity to get rid of, trim some of the fat. You know what I mean? And get rid of some of the things you don't need to, and then move forward beyond pandemic, post-pandemic.
Right.
Without all of it. So hopefully that's the case. That they were going to go to two preseason games anyway, right? In a couple of years?
I think they're going to go to three first, but yeah, you're right.
Why even go to 17 games? Like, that to me is one of the dumbest things that's happened this year.
You're anti-odd amount of games.
You can't be 500. What'd Jeff Fisher do? You know what I mean?
Not going 7-9.
Yeah. I mean, come on. You can't have a sports league that has an odd number of games. That doesn't make any sense. Because then you have an imbalance of home and away. These are the logical things that I need to bring to
neutral sites, Jason.
That's never going to happen.
I know it's not. People keep on telling me, though, it will.
It would be great if they could, but there's too many logistics involved to do that across 31 or 30 teams in the NFL. 610-632-0975. That's the number. A couple open lines. Get the Tom and Graf coming up. And more of your phone calls right here. It's the Midday Show. Jason Martinez. Anthony is off today. We're back after this on The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.